Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Audio courtesy MLB Network. Got something to say about that promo we just played before the show. That's coming up at 6:40 already off the top of my head. Congratulations to CeCe. That's a fantastic thing for CeCe Sabathia. That's all great. I found a new and exciting way to be mad at Major League Baseball yesterday. And I don't know if you agree or disagree or how you're going to feel about this. I came to a realization yesterday because I'm watching, and we all had the feeling he was going to go in as a Yankee, and he's going to go in as a Yankee into the Hall of Fame. It's going to be him, and Billy Wagner's going into the Hall of Fame, and Ichiro Suzuki's going into the Hall of Fame. More on him in just a moment. But CeCe's going into the Hall of Fame, and there was we knew he was going to go in as a Yankee, and I go, man, the only thing we can do, like I saw the stuff going down from the Baseball Hall of Fame, the reposts of the social media well wishes. Like I saw the Miami Marlins wished congratulations to Ichiro Suzuki. The Brewers wished congratulations to CeCe Sabathia. Go, that's all we have left now, isn't it? We just glom on to other success. Because we don't, I go, the next guy we are going to have, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And it might have hit me before, and then like you know, you forget these things after a moment because this gets brought up in January. Jose Ramirez is going to be the next, and if baseball keeps going, last Cleveland Guardian to go into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Like, he's on trajectory to go to the Hall of Fame right now, and when he gets in, he'll be the last. I don't know first ballot or anything like that. I don't think so, but he'll go into the Hall of Fame, and then that's it. That's it. That's all we have. He'll be the last one. He'll be the one with the C on the hat. And then that'll be it. And all we'll be able to do is glom on to other guys when they go in as other players. Like, I didn't realize they don't officially do that in the NFL. Because I was going over Myles Garrett's career. And I go, man, it's like him and Len Ford are the only guys who spent the bulk of their careers with the Browns who are defensive players. And if you can find me somebody who knows Len Ford right off the top of your head other than me, congratulations to you. You know some Browns history, or you are an older listener, my friend. So it's either him or him that go in as Browns. I go, well, they don't really go in as, like, the Browns can claim 23 different guys, but there were guys who started their careers in Cleveland, ended with the Bears, such and such. You know, you get what I'm saying. They don't do it like that. In baseball, you go in as a member of a team. And we heard the Wade Boggs controversy a couple of years, well, not a couple of years ago, but some years ago. And it just hit me. I go, well, that's all we have left is just to glom onto their success and go, well, he started his career in Cleveland and he's thankful he was here in Cleveland and that's great. And we get to bring him back every now and then, but he goes in as a Yankee. He won a World Series with the Yankees. He spent most of his career with the Yankees. And that's all I can do is just deal with it. Every great player, if Travis Bazzana becomes a Hall of Famer, guess who he's going in as? Ain't going to be a Guardian. Paul Skeens over there in Pittsburgh. All you Pittsburgh guys out there. Paul Skeens will probably go to the Hall of Fame. Guess what? Probably ain't going to go in as a Pirate. Probably will go in as a Yankee or a Met or a Dodger if this all continues.
But do you think?
And I go, Major League Baseball, and I know you've heard it so many times, you'll roll your eyes at it. I found a new way to be angry at Major League Baseball.
Do you think the average fan cares about the Hall of Fame these days?
I think the average fan...
When I was young, the Hall of Fame was a huge deal. There were pilgrimages out to Cooperstown.
Yeah.
There was the man, if you were a Little League player and you got a chance to play in Cooperstown, and I'm curious because I'm so far removed.
Well, you don't
now.
Like Hall of Fame anymore. I think they do. I think they do care.
Is it a big deal to the casual fan? The diehards, well, yes, they're always going to care about that stuff.
This is what a Hall of Fame is supposed to be. You are supposed to get a man of a certain age. I'm just going by demographics here. A fan of, it'd be women too. A fan of a certain age to reminisce, because it's supposed to be for the fans. Baseball waved bye-bye to that years ago. It's supposed to be for the fans. So it's a celebration of that player's career, and fans get to go remember them. So they get to go take a trip down memory lane. And so they get to go see that player enshrined, or they get to see that player at the Hall of Fame, and they get to take their kids. So it's like this carrying of torches, passing of torches from one generation to the other with fans. Now, I know that very well because I'm from Canton. I know the people who work down there. I mean, that's the whole thing of what it's set up supposed to be, is that fans come in from all over. It's a convention of fandom in August. You get to see your favorite players enshrined, all that stuff, and then you get to tell stories about how great that player was, even though some of the people that go in, I mean, the kids are old enough to see them play because they're first ballot Hall of Famers. But in some cases, you didn't get to see them play. Their dad got to see them. They get to tell them stories, and it's just another way to cement the fandom in there. Well, you aren't going to have that anymore. Because if I only have Yankees fans, well, New York is just down the road from Cooperstown in comparison. The Mets are just down the road from Cooperstown in comparison. I guess you got Dodgers fans that could fly in if they're really that passionate about it. And then that's it. Do I really... The thing that ties me to the Hall of Fame this year is if I were that big of a fan that had the means to go see it, is that I could see Guardians fans going to see Tom Hamilton give his speech.
An announcer.
a play-by-play broadcaster. Yeah. And I'm not, and that is no way being nasty towards him, but that's what I'm saying. Like,
no, it's just kind of fun. Hey, why are you in Cooperstown? Oh, I really like Tom Hamilton.
Yeah. And maybe that's it. Maybe you'd like to see that.
That is a sad state of affairs for the sport, and you're not going there to see the guys that truly uplifted you and made you feel like you were a kid again.
If there's like a Jeff in Eastlake and he's like, well, this is one of the few times I'm going to get to go to the Baseball Hall of Fame and see a Guardians person inducted into the Hall of Fame. Go right on ahead. God bless you, because you only get him and you get Jose Ramirez, and that's it.
What do we do with Tito?
Maybe he goes into the Hall of Fame as a Cleveland Guardians manager, except
he won his World Series with the Boston Red Sox. But he managed, what, four more seasons in Cleveland and had sustained success for a long period of time?
I don't know that that's a debate. He broke the curse.
Great.
For the Red Sox.
Awesome. So our most successful manager... Is someone else's manager. Great sport you got there.
Even though he did win his Coaches of the Year with...
Yeah, come on, he had the hardware.
Great entity you have there.
He broke the curse.
All right, well, you guys better hope Stefanski gets it turned around, because we got the two-time Coach of the Year, and he better get into the Hall of Fame.
Will he go in as a Brown?
Of course, it doesn't matter about that. We'll have Myles Garrett at some point. Well, I would certainly hope so he would go in as a Brown.
We don't know. He's young. We don't know where the next 20 years of Kevin Stefanski will end up after this year.
It's you don't feel that. That's part of the problem, too, is I'm... Owen kind of, I think, gets it, but no offense to you, you gave up on it a long time ago.
Yeah,
and I mean, that is part of the problem with Major League Baseball. I got a sports host in Cleveland who cares about his teams, and he doesn't care when I bitch and moan about the Hall of Fame. And yeah, maybe some people driving don't care either. Yeah, I got to get it off my chest.
Baseball was my first love.
That's terrible.
Was the only thing I cared about for the first however many years of my life.
I think our generation, that's all we did. I mean, we grew up with the home run chase. It was. Yeah. And fish in a barrel.
And that will be seen as the pinnacle of the sport. For other people, it's somehow the shame and humiliation of the sport, the steroid
ego.
Era.
It's ego.
But it was awesome to watch. And then, you know, kind of every year, the only thing that kept me in it at all was that Cleveland always had competitive baseball teams.
Yeah.
You know, for such a long period of time.
And they have competitive baseball teams now.
They do. It's just like... Last week, we didn't talk a lot about what the Dodgers did at the end of last week and over the weekend, but it's like every other day there's a new Dodgers story about the money. And I've said this before, like, you know, the off seasons, we get really into off seasons here for the Cleveland Browns and for the Cavs. They have made some huge moves, you know, over the last 10, 15 years where you have hope every year, no matter how good a team is, a bad a team is, no matter how right or wrong you are about a team. The Guardians and baseball in most of America these days, it's about having fun watching your team if they're good, and we've been blessed. We've had a very good team, you know, for a long period of time now with the Guardians. That's what the regular seasons are for with the Guardians. And then you get into the postseason and you hope. You pray that you go on a magical run. We were able to do that in 2016. This year there were some times where you're like, hey, could this be the magical run? And then in the end, it isn't, but it was a satisfying year, I think, for most fans. But the off seasons, you're never going to have hope and get excited about in a market like this, It's just, and I don't care who the owner is either, by the way. I don't think that will matter. I know the people will do it
totally
and move
agree.
Heaven and earth to move to the next owner. The next owner will give you disappointing off seasons as well. But
No. My prediction is he makes a splash at the beginning. Yeah. He makes a splash in the beginning, and then that's it.
But that's all I'm saying is I am resigned to the fact, as I think most baseball people are, unless you're in New York or L.A., I'm resigned to the fact, even in Boston, the last 4 years, they've been resigned to that fact that this sport is not going to give you any joy in the offseason. It's only going to be how your team does in the regular season, which is a very long regular season, so you'll get joy out of that. The other sports do so much better giving you joy for longer
periods.
That's
half the reason I got mad at I got mad at Daryl. I'm going, well, Daryl, do you want to sit here and talk about the guys that great, hooray, we got rid of Miles Straw. Is that something to get into with you?
Yeah,
is that what you want to do?
By the way, even the way you have to be a baseball fan in a market like this, you have to understand so much more than what I think most casual fans are willing to digest, that you have to understand all these other ways to acquire players and how guys are doing 60, in the minor 000, leagues.
$60,000 contracts for the international players.
Right, right.
You have to understand that. Just like you said, you have to get into the farm system. You have to, like, thank God Lake County's close. Thank God Akron's close, because it's like, all right, you hear a little bit of it. And there's guys who do a good job with the farm system here, but like covering the farm system. But you got to dig deep where any goofball Mets fan out there, well, who's batting third? All right, and he'll bat third tomorrow, and he'll bat third the day after that, like it used to be. Yeah. So baseball hasn't changed for those fan bases since we were kids. And so it's easier to be in tune with that. But yeah, it was a sobering thing to realize, like, all right, CC's going in. I know he's going to go in as a Yankee. Okay, officially goes in as a Yankee. Great for CC Sabathia.
So we'll just have to wait for him to say a few nice things about his time in Cleveland.
And that's,
there'll be a Cleveland reporter there.
Yeah.
And then we'll play in. It'll give us warm and fuzzies for a little bit.
In baseball
he had four playoff starts for us. Yeah. He had 20 for the Yankees. One for Milwaukee that didn't go well.
That's exactly right. We will send reporters to Cooperstown to cover Tom Hamilton's speech.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And there will be a speech of CC Sabathia, and he'll mention the Cleveland part of his career because it was a nice part of his career, and we'll take that snippet and we'll make a big deal out of it.
As cheap as the media companies are today, but they might just have Tom Hamilton cover himself and CC. Then he can do the stories.
I didn't say that.
Reckless speculation.
I did not say that.
Well, I'm saying nobody travels anymore. Nobody
goes
anywhere.
It was the other half of the show.
Did not even need to know what he was going to say, saw the look on his face, and got to the reckless speculation.
This isn't setting the tone. Oh, yeah, you weren't here for that Friday. That was something.
Oh, I have vidges.
There's some people who really like that. But anyway, I'm sorry to go off on such a tangent there.
Where is CC?
It bothers me that you...
Kenny, can I get a power ranking from you?
Oh.
Does CC make your power ranking?
Of?
Of.
What?
Of. We're talking joy. Which Guardians players in your lifetime gave you that joy?
Oh, Judas.
Does CC even make the list?
Oh, man. No, he doesn't. He's where I got mad. I almost was like one of the callers that said I'm jumping off the ship. when they traded him to Milwaukee, I was really upset. I said we were wasting our time. I almost did what Mitch has done and become a Yankee fan. I didn't. Thank God. I was in a bad place, man. I was in a real bad place. It was ugly. And then they got Matt LaPorta, and that thing didn't work out very well.
No. That was 08, what, Victor Martinez was 2009?
Yep.
That was a rough stretch. That was really rough. That was kind of the letting everybody understand how this is going to go, how this is going to work going forward.
Mm-hmm. Here it is. It's a good job. Just killing your own sport. You took your own sport and you're drowning in a bathtub. Well done.
Does Tomey make your top three?
No.
Hall of Famer.
Well, hit it again.
We got statue.
Hit it again. Doesn't matter.
We got statue. Wait, we erect statues for people that don't make Ken's top three?
Hey, it's not Ken's top three. I know I'm in the minority here.
He's got a statue.
Okay. He's still not in the top three.
Wow.
He would have been in my late mother's top three. He would have been in my late mother's top three, but mom ain't here to tell you now, is she?
And Tomey was a Cleveland baseball player.
If my mom was here to tell you right now, you know what I'd say to mom? You know what I'd say to mom, Tomey?
What are you doing here?
That's what I'd say. What the hell are you doing here, mom? You've been dead for a couple years now.
Every year you use that. Still surprises me.
Didn't surprise all.
Here we go.
Hit the music again.
Powering top three things you'd say to your dead mom if she showed up right now in the studio.
If mom showed up in the studio? Yeah. No. All right, let's go. Let's go. Man, I really like Kenny Lofton. Albert, Kenny, Manny.
I feel like Manny.
I'm just naming favorites.
No, I'm the same way with Manny. I'm the same way.
Everybody loved Manny. Except for the guy who was standing next to me in right field one time when I was a kid. But other than that, everybody else loved Manny. So, yeah. There you go. Larry Schmidt's going to join us later in the show. You will find out who that is. He is the Browns fan of the year. And considering how the year went, this is an Iron Man of Browns fans. And we will talk to Larry in studio coming up at 9 o'clock. Coming up at 6:24, my friends. Ryan Day might have to call Merriman Legal. And there's a man who's the best coach in the country. And he'll tell you he is, coming up in About Last Night.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
All right, Kenny, the Buckeyes, now the national champions, and to the victors go the spoils, Kenny, as they are doing the media junket. You're seeing Ryan Day, you're seeing Will Howard and others do as much media as humanly possible following the national championship. When are they going to be able to actually get back to their studies? That's the question I have. You're student athletes. Start to act.
Jack Sawyer's going to walk back into a classroom. I wouldn't if I were him.
You do wonder.
Are you ready for the draft?
You do wonder about like
how get perfect attendance. Then
that school ain't going anywhere.
How many of those guys? Like it was famous when Aaron Kraft was in the NCAA tournament, and then they would show him actually doing his homework. Like in between
games.
That's
why he's a doctor.
Yeah, he wasn't going to the NBA. Jack Sawyer going to the NFL. Hell, you got people talking about Will Howard. I mean, he's going to shoot up that draft. Excuse me, I got hillbilly there. He's going to shoot up that draft board, Tone. You better be ready to talk about Will Howard.
I am.
To some level.
Meanwhile, Will Howard is ready to talk about what transpired after the game when Ryan Day, there was a little shockwave to his system as he was riding a golf cart. And the individual driving that golf cart, took it right into a wall.
Dude, that was so funny. So I felt so bad for the poor girl. She was like ripping through people on the field and just yelling, move, 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 honking at people. And then all of a sudden we get to this corner and she like almost gets close to the wall, and then she starts reversing, and then she put it back, you know, in drive. And just crashed into the wall.
Yeah,
and we're like, none of us were like, I think I had my head down on my phone. And Coach Day, I don't know what happened, but I think his neck like got like messed up. And, like, I don't know if he's, you know, he looked like he was shaking up for a second, but I hope he's doing all right now.
It's okay. It's okay.
That audio of Will Howard was on the Pat McAfee show. So we watched it, and it looked like Ryan Day was not too thrilled. You think he's a little sore?
He's in a little bit
today,
of pain.
Kenny. How annoying would that be? All you want to do is finally, you know, stick the birds up to everybody. Let everybody know that he deserves an apology. And is maybe a little rough getting out of bed today.
Well, I didn't know she was hot dogging it before. See, that adds a little bit to the story. Like honking at people, telling them to move and things like that.
Well, there's a tremendous amount of power when you have the golf cart. The person that possesses the golf cart has the power. They get to rule the roost.
You ever get a golf cart ride to a place at an event?
Oh, yeah.
You feel like the King of England. I got a golf cart ride during Hall of Fame weekend. And I was like, look at you peasants.
Yeah, everybody else walking.
And then we picked up Flava Flav. And then I really were calling people peasants.
Oh, hell yeah.
Me and Flava Flav on a golf cart.
Did you guys talk?
I did. I turned around because I'm sitting there going, there's no way. And I go, who else is wearing a giant clock around their neck, Ken? And I turned around and go, you're him, aren't you? And he's like, I am. It's nice to meet you. And I was like, hey, I'm a radio show host here, man. I just want to say it's really cool to meet you, man. He's a really nice guy.
Did you
Big Jim Brown fan. That's why he was there.
Oh, that's cool.
He was at the Jim Brown Memorial.
Did you happen to ask him what it would be like on a tour bus of a rapper?
I never asked him that. We had a polite conversation for a few minutes. My buddy Jim McChris, that's how I got the golf cart. My buddy Jim from down in Canton, it's like, I'll swing around, I'll pick you up. And then we picked up Flava Flav. It was a fun time. Yeah, I don't blame him. But I couldn't imagine if Jim would have wrecked the cart, and then I would have.
Oh, yeah.
Because in my head, I would have been having to put my tail between my legs because of what I already thought about the peasants having to walk to all these events. Yeah.
Meanwhile.
Ryan Dave probably felt the same way, probably felt embarrassed.
Meanwhile, your Cleveland Cavaliers, and we'll have more on Ohio State coming up, 6:40. Cavaliers,
hell yeah,
36-6. Kenny, every time I look at the record, it's just more and more improbable, more and more staggering every time I look. But you know who else has been just in such a positive way, a big surprise? That would be Darius Garland, who on many nights this year, he's been the best Cavalier. And he has been one of the top point guards in the NBA. He's chasing down a 50-40-90 season. 50 from the field, 40 from three, 90 from the free throw line. That space is reserved for all-time great shooters in this league, and it is absolutely a conversation halfway through the year if he can do it. But how was it going last offseason when there were all sorts of trade rumors, Kenny, and feelings about whether or not the Cavs should maybe move some pieces and parts, maybe move Darius Garland? Well, on the Draymond Green podcast, he talked about a very crucial conversation he had with Donovan Mitchell.
He knew that I was pretty upset about last year and not having the performance that I wanted and what he wanted, and as like a team perspective. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just sat down and talked, and we just really explained to each other, like, this is what we're going to have to do to win. This is what we're going to have to do to get to the Eastern Conference Finals and to the finals. And yeah, it was like a grown man conversation. Just really sat down and just unfolded everything. That's probably like the first grown man conversation I had in the league so far.
And it seems like whatever he did this offseason obviously helps that he's healthy. Certainly the way he plays, there is a confidence right now.
That's
his
awesome.
Floater's automatic. His three-point shot is just, it's surgical right now.
That's awesome that went down. Because we remember we talked to Jason, and there were some rumors in the dressing room about how some guys were upset that he didn't take things as deeply as maybe they thought he should. Some of the veterans were a little bit upset that he didn't take things as seriously as he should have with some of the losses. Because remember, at the beginning of his career, the Cavs were terrible, and it was just, hey, go ahead and shoot. Shoot, 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 shoot. And I don't think he really learned what it took to be accounted on every single night, to be a guy to lead your team to victory, to be a guy that picks other people up, to be a leader. I don't think that really happened early in his career. So Donovan had to come in and get that kind of jump started here over the last year. So it's nice to hear that conversation.
It's awesome. It's awesome. And might have more on that a little bit later on. There was college basketball last night. Give it up. Ohio State come from behind, win over Purdue. It's a nice win from Mr. Diebler.
All right.
I know some of us on the show still trying to figure out which Diebler it is that's walking up and down the sidelines.
John Diebler.
Well, we will play Know Your Dieblers.
Yeah, that's a
two-second trivia is at 7:45. You better be paying attention now. Your chance to go see Monster Jam at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse.
I like
you better
that.
Know your Diebler.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Well, do you know your Hurleys? Well, Dan Hurley is the two-time defending national champion. And it seems like he's having a rough year. They're 18th ranked, but they're nowhere near as good as they've been the last few years. In fact, yesterday berated an official telling them in his two-point win over Butler that you don't turn your back on me. I'm the best coach in the blanking sport. He had more on that in postgame.
I just wish they would show these other coaches losing their minds at the officials in other Big East games that I'm coaching, where I look going into a timeout when I'm not talking to officials. I see the other coaches as demonstrative as I am. You know, the camera, obviously, you know, I've created this for myself. I'm not no victim, but I just wish that they would not have the camera on me 90% of the time, unless they feel like it's driving ratings and more on Twitter that could put clips of me from a game and say, hey, look how big of a monster he is. He's yelling at a ref again. What a monster.
Is he the most self-absorbed coach in sports right now?
Yeah, buddy. I don't know if you've noticed the ratings for basketball, college basketball over the last umpteen years are kind of low. You are a star. And remember the last guy, people are drawn to basketball coaches, especially college basketball coaches who yell at refs. Jim Boeheim made a hell of a living yelling at referees for about 40 years. And was known as a guy who was a whiner and a hothead and gave refs a bunch of crap. Dan Hurley's the same way. So, yeah, they're going to show you. Of course it's driven by ratings. Don't be an idiot.
Hey, he signed that six-year, $50 million contract to stay with UConn after he passed up what was supposedly a Laker.
It's like $10 million a year for the Lakers.
Yeah.
That's what the rumor was.
This guy, like, we've had some big-time babies in college basketball over the years.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Me and you, you'll catch the two of us just sitting there playing old Bobby Knight recordings.
Oh, I have the one.
And we laugh and we laugh and we laugh.
I have the one committed to memory of the recording in the locker room. And I played it one time. My sons came walking in and they thought it was a recording of me. Which is, I don't know if that's a good thing.
Somebody you looked up to. Bobby Knight.
I'm leaving and you guys will run till you can't eat supper. Now, I'm tired of this bleep. I'm sick and bleeping tired of an 8-10 record. Mm-hmm. I'm sick and bleeping tired of losing Purdue. I ain't here to bleep around this week. Now, you may be, but I'm not. And then he goes on.
Kenny used to look up to him. Now he looks down to him. That's it for about last night.
I wonder if I could kiss his ass with how he's buried. Apparently, Peterlin took a shot at you yesterday. It's implied. There's okay. An implication that there was a shot taken at you.
Like
I'm not sure.
Shot?
Well, let's see. They were talking about Ryan Day on the afternoon show yesterday. Here's what Peterlin had to say.
This is an insanely huge accomplishment by Ryan Day, and it absolutely deserves to bow down to him. There's a place I'm not going today with Ryan Day.
Where's
but to
that?
At least give him the full credit of this was an incredible accomplishment, and you've now done something that puts you on par with Tressel and Urban. Respect given.
I like the idea that there was some of the lunatic fringe that was still saying how, you know, Urban Meyer would have ran up the score last night. Urban Meyer wouldn't have made it so close. He wouldn't have made it a one-score game at the end there, and he would have really separated, whereas Ryan Day in the second half got the ball to Jeremiah Smith once, and it was that 3rd-and-11 play. What a play that was, though.
I think that's where – so Mitch found it, and I think that that's mm-hmm. where – because you were the one who said Urban would have ran it up. And I think that he – Mitch, are you saying that Jonathan heard Anthony and took the swing?
I'm not saying that.
Are you saying – do you believe it or do you not believe it?
I just heard the quote about running up the score and thought it was interesting.
Okay, so Mitch is the most non-confrontational person in the history of confrontation. Great business you've selected.
Hold on,
he believes that you are.
I think there's a difference here. I think the term running up the score makes it sound like Ryan Day decided not to run up the score to like be classy. No. That wasn't even what I was saying. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that the talent advantage that Ohio State had yesterday at quarterback 2 days ago, especially at quarterback. I mean, Notre Dame's quarterback couldn't throw the ball further than 10 yards down the field until he absolutely had to because their backs were against the wall. Then they made some nice plays. Ohio State did go really conservative. Urban Meyer, that team would have made that a total blowout because that's what when Urban had the chance to do that, his teams were so good that they were able to do it. Ohio State's team was good enough that they should have really blown out Notre Dame. That's all I was saying. I didn't think it was like a classy thing like, oh, Ryan Day didn't want to do that to Notre Dame. Like, I think Ryan Day puckered up a little bit. I think Chip Kelly puckered up when they had that 31-7 lead. They started doing things that were counter to how they got there.
I think they sat on it.
Yeah.
And I probably, and you know me, I probably would have tried to sit on it as well because I would have had no faith that Notre Dame was going to. And my thought is just, let's get this clock down.
Yeah, what are the odds?
Get this clock out of here. And that's I was surprised because I watched the game on low volume or mute all the time, and I was not as nervous as other people were. And they were shocked. I didn't feel that way. Like when I talked to you yesterday on the show, I was like, I just never thought Notre Dame would go right back down the field and score and get another 2-point conversion again. I never thought that that was going to happen. So when there were people saying that they were really relieved on the Jeremiah Smith 57-yard pass, I did not feel that way. I was like, oh, that's a great pass, and that will actually really do it. But I never felt that way.
Well,
so
it threw me off
a little bit.
Because
I didn't
momentum,
watch it the way everybody else did.
The momentum, if you believe in momentum. The momentum had totally left
and
Ohio
I didn't feel
State
it.
There.
I just didn't feel it. Maybe I should have turned the volume up on the television or something. Because like, I shouldn't admit this. I very rarely believe the broadcasters because I think they're trying to find a game. So if you're up by a bunch, I always think they're trying to find a game and a comeback and part of something they can be with so they can make it interesting and have something compelling, which is their job. And that's fine to do. I'm not saying them to be wrong people. But it throws me off, and I think, no, this isn't going to be feasible. It's not going to happen. So maybe I took it a little bit lightly. Regardless,
well, it was an 8-point game, and it was third down at their own 34-yard line. So if they don't convert that, they're punting the ball back because it was third and 11.
Yeah. Oof. It was.
So they're punting the ball back to Notre Dame, and Notre Dame had touchdown, missed field goal, touchdown, had driven the field. Momentum had totally shifted in this game. So to me, I was just saying the fact that was even still a football game when I heard David Pollack go on a podcast yesterday and say he was trying to be as fair as humanly possible to Notre Dame. He said he could find three total players on Notre Dame that would have started for Ohio State. Ohio State had a huge talent advantage in that game. Well, why is it an 8-point game? You know, in the
foot off the gas. They did. They decided to sit on the football. But this is beside the point. I mean, he says that he alludes to you, I think, in certain ways. I think Mitch is right, even though Mitch is afraid to say it. I think it alludes to you being a part of the lunatic fringe.
Yeah, I probably am.
But I want to ask you, because I said it last night. I kind of said it yesterday morning. Are you willing to apologize to Ryan Day? Because I'm finding a lot of radio hosts in the state, in the region, in the country who are not really apologizing to Ryan Day. And I'm thinking, why is it so hard to say you're sorry? I was one of the people who said that you could look for other guys, that you could demand better. I don't call for firings, but I was like, yeah, you could get somebody else and they could do a good job. And you know what? I still believe that. Ryan Day can go get a job with the Las Vegas Raiders after this, and you could find somebody, and they will be expected to go out and win a national title, yeah, and like, they could. But that
What do you think Chip Kelly's record would be at Ohio State?
Probably really good. But let me tell you this. To me, that doesn't take away from what Ryan Day did. Winning national championships is hard to do.
Oh, and the way they did it.
And
the way
if Ryan Day walked away from it, you have arguably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, run of college football that anybody has ever had. Now, some people don't believe that. You went through how many top six opponents? You went through it the hard way with four straight, obviously great football teams to go and win the national championship. You're dealing with NIL, which means you're dealing with a thinner roster. The other ones are dealing with thinner rosters too, but you're dealing with a thinner roster. You just lost to Michigan. There's no momentum there afterwards. You had to build up your own momentum. These are big things, and Ryan Day deserves credit for that. That's why I have no problem saying, hey, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I kind of fanned the flames on the quote-unquote lunatic fringe, and I'm sorry about that. I got caught up.
And I gave them a ton of credit for what they were able to do, the Tennessee and Oregon games, how they rebounded as a team. And that can only happen if there's a buy-in with your head coach. So I didn't know. I didn't know they had that kind of buy-in. And since then, we certainly saw that, and I'd heard things behind the scenes. And I made sure to give them credit for that. I will never apologize for going after them after they lost to Michigan. That was,
you won't apologize.
It's an inconceivable loss. There are people that know way more football than me that sat there and said that's the dumbest game plan they've ever seen from a head coach. And that's a Ryan Day problem. So thank God they held on, and thank God they converted that pass to Jeremiah Smith on 3rd and 11, because the way that game was going, can you imagine? You thought it was bad with the city and the campus and the fans and Lunatic Fringe and people like me with Ryan Day. You cough up a game where you were up 31-7 and so were demonstrably better than them. They held them off. They won the game, and I really am happy for Ryan Day. When he talks about the threats and when he talks about, I mean, not just lunatic fringe like me, he's talking about people that are going way, way over the edge with his family, with where he lives. That is ridiculous, and that's very unfortunate. And I was happy. I was so happy to see the relief on his face when he won it all.
But you won't apologize.
No. I'm never going to apologize for being frustrated with losing that game. No. But that game doesn't matter anymore.
Would they?
It just flat out doesn't matter anymore.
Let me ask you this. Would they have had what it took to go through those four opponents had they beaten Michigan?
Well, not only that, they wouldn't have played Oregon.
I don't
know
if they would have.
They would not have played Oregon until the national championship game.
No.
So it would have been a totally... Now, we blew out Oregon the last time we played them, so no Buckeye fans... Nobody clad in scarlet and gray with the pom-poms are ever going to think that would have been anything but a blowout. But that led to Oregon kind of getting the shaft. Ohio State losing that game, and then Oregon ends up with the bye, and they end up playing Ohio State. Like, it's incredible.
I think you
the
should
turn
apologize.
Of events.
I thought what I saw
well,
here
he,
over these last
I mean, I'm
month
saying,
and a
he
half.
Did, he did an incredible coaching job, so why does he need more than that? I mean, he did an all-time coaching job to rally them up.
Well, he's your coach. He's he's not part of the conversation because he's a national champion. Mm-hmm. I mean, it starts with Woody Hayes and Paul Brown, and now he's the latest. He's in that. Something will be named after him. He's in that category. There has to be some sort of a comeuppance, isn't there?
I think he's getting it. He's one of the highest paid coaches in college football. He's got one of the best records. He's got a national championship. He gets to do I told you so to everybody. He got an all-time mulligan with this playoff.
He doesn't. He's letting other people try to do the I told you so. And I didn't tell anybody so I have to apologize because I didn't tell anybody so.
He's been surprisingly classy. I got to say that. Like, he has been incredibly. I would not be that way. You know I wouldn't be that way. Ken, I know you wouldn't be that way.
What are you talking about?
After being subjected to what he was subjected to by people like me and people a lot more meaner than me. Can you imagine what the boosters?
I got more Dan Hurley in me than I do Ryan Day in that
case. Can you imagine what the people that spent all the money to go get Will Howard, to go get Caleb Downs, to go get Jeremiah Smith, to go. Remember, they also had to go bring in Chip Kelly to bail him out because they were so worried about. Michigan won the national championship the year before.
Well, 216-474-0092. Should fans apologize to Ryan Day? I said I apologize. I say yes. Lima says absolutely not.
And does Ryan Day need the most amount of money now every year to win the championship?